Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. If you don't know who that is on that CD, you will know shortly. Corky Siegel is, I do not like to toss around, and I know you don't like the word either, legend. Do you? You like the word legend attached to you,
Corky Siegel? It depends on what someone means when they say it.
I think it means someone who has been consistently great for a length of time. I think the word is tossed around too easily now.
Now, I think what it actually means is a person who has been consistently old for a certain amount of time.
Well, let's say Charles Osgood, the legend. It's my real pleasure to have you here for the whole hour. We're going to talk about some of Corky's upcoming chamber blues performances at some great, great venues. But Corky, since I have you for a whole hour, we've known each other for probably 40 years, and there's still so much I don't know about you. What is your first memory of music?
Well, as I tell people, my memory is a thing of the past. But my first memory of music was the little doorstop, the spring doorstop.
Oh, interesting. Bang,
just beautiful. I just love that. And then the Grand Canyon Suite and Peter and the Wolf.
Wow.
And Ray Bolger singing children's songs.
The Wizard of Oz, yeah.
No, actually, he was pre-Wizard of Oz. This was called the Chirkindeuse children's record.
Since we have, you are going to be performing May 27th, 28th, 29th, 31st, also May 21st at the Woodstock Opera House, but not with Ernie Watts. Since Ernie's on the phone,
Ernie
is in Spain, I think. Let's talk to Ernie. Ernie Watts is a legendary. And I'm using that word again, Corky Siegel.
He's old, too.
So aren't we all? Aren't we all? If it was just being old, everybody would be one. Welcome to the show, Mr. Watts. Do you consider yourself a legend, too, like Corky? That's what we've been banging around here.
Well, I think we're all a legend in our own mind.
Where are you now? Are you in Spain right now?
Yeah, I'm in Madrid. I just finished 7 nights at a place called the Cafe Central in the middle of Madrid.
Let me ask both of you, how did this relationship happen? The Siegel-Watt relationship. How did it start, Corky?
Oh, he asked me, Ernie. Okay.
Yeah.
So I was invited to tour with Dr. L. Subramaniam, the great Indian violinist virtuoso, we're rehearsing, we're on stage, and I heard that Ernie Watts was going to be on the tour with us, and he shows up, and there's about 15 musicians. He's all the way at the other end of the stage. I'm all the way at this end of the stage.
Yeah.
And I'm very intimidated to meet him, but somehow on the chai break, when we serve these little cups of chai and styrofoam cups, I held the cup as if it was a dainty demitasse with my little finger hanging out, and I walked up to Ernie, and out of my mouth comes, "Mr. Watts, would you like to join me for some chai?" And Ernie said,
said, "Who?
I would be delighted." And that was the end of that.
Ernie, had you known or heard of Corky before your first meeting?
You know, I hadn't met Corky. I knew of Corky because of his, you know, recordings and all of his blues history. So I've listened to a lot of his things, you know. So I was familiar with him, but I had never met him before.
He's a very charming guy, isn't he, for a harmonica player, don't you think? He's a very charming guy for a blues guy, don't you think?
Well, you know, he's a very interesting guy all the way around. So, I mean, he's a philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
He's a poet, and he plays blues harp. That's pretty, you know, that's a pretty good package there.
And Ernie is a philosopher, a poet, and he plays jazz saxophone. That's a pretty interesting package.
Was it hard?
And he's a legend, too.
When Corky, when you propose a collaboration with a man like Ernie Watts, who is, you just finished a week in Madrid, he's a busy guy. Do you share musical philosophy before you even start to talk about where you might play and what you might do?
No.
How does it happen then?
I go, "Mr. Watts, would you like to join me for a collaboration?"
In your T voice. In your T voice.
No, the idea is, Ernie, you know what I'm saying, right?
Well, sure. I mean, we knew each other before we met. We've known each other for 1,000 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why this has all come about, because it's time now. You know, but this has been on the way for eons. So when we've got together, it's like we were always together. You know how you meet people and you instantly feel like you've known them your whole life?
No question, yeah. Yeah.
So sort of like that, you know. Corky said that we are joined at the very hip.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. But at any point, you know, when you first start to play together, I understand the philosophical notion of having known each other for all time.
Yeah.
Then when you start to play and you start to kind of decide, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to play off our musical strengths and weakness, likes?
Yeah. Well, that's the beauty of it. You know, bringing in a guest or being a guest, you're really allowing spontaneity to take a bigger part. Which is always exciting and beautiful, and you don't want to really interfere with this incredible opportunity that, you know, the first time Ernie and I played, we did a chamber blues performance before. We had no idea what we were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
but there's a real musical joy in that, because you are, in a sense, on a musical adventure when you do something like that, don't you think?
Well, that is the purpose of what we do. Purpose of what we do is to have an adventure. The magic of it is the spontaneity. You know, that is the seed of it. That is the very, very special part of it, is the fact that it's being created on the spot.
Mr. Watts, I know you're in Spain. If you can hold on for 2 minutes, because a lot of people are listening, we'll have a commercial. Then we'll bring you back, and then I'll only keep you for 5 more minutes, and then I'll play a little Corky and Ernie Watts song. If you could do that, I'd really appreciate it. We'll be back in 2 minutes. I have to tell you, to get the stories and make the city. With unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune News, become a member today at chicagotribune.com. That is the best harmonica playing you will ever hear, and it is my great hope that you have sometime in your earlier life heard it at some Chicago venue, sitting in a nice seat, maybe even smoking and drinking when you used to be able to do that, and listening to Corky Siegel, my guest. Also on the phone, live from Spain, is jazz saxophone great Ernie Watts, who's going to be performing with Corky. I will give you all these details about where they're going to be performing later this month, starting at May 27th, 28th, May 29th, and the 31st. When you two decide, Mr. Watts, when you say, okay, I am going to hang around with Corky Siegel and Chamber Blues, it's not at all intimidating for you. It's actually probably, and I'm making a guess here, it's got to be joyful for you, isn't it?
Well, yes, it was. It's a real fun thing to do because it's so unusual. You know, how can anyone, you know, visualize a blues harmonica, a string quartet, two violins, viola, and cello, and a tabla player? You know, my first thing was, well, there's no bass. How are they going to do this without a bass? I wasn't as concerned as much about the drum thing, the tabla thing, as the bass function, you know?
Uh-huh.
But then I heard the cello, and the cello player was playing the bass functions, and it was incredible. You know, all the music was there, all the dynamics of the music was there, and so it was just a real pure fun adventure situation. And it's always an adventure with Corky. It's an adventure with Corky if you go to lunch, you know?
or have him on a radio show. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Before I let you go, and you got to get some sleep, how was your week in Spain? I'd love you to contrast the... Whenever I talk to some, not all musicians, there's an incredible appreciation, especially for jazz, in the European capitals in a way that there isn't in the United States anymore. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's a very eclectic audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people come out and they listen to this music, and then they'll go to an opera on Wednesday night, and then they'll go here another jazz concert on a Friday night. You know, they're open to music. There's a lot of music in their history. They keep it in their history, and they're very open and very, what would you say, free with their judgments and their emotions regarding music. So they really enjoy the music because they realize that all of this music and all of this art comes from the same energy. It's
right.
A part of all the same energy, and we're a part of that energy, and so they can feel that.
Well, they don't, it seems to me, like sometimes in this country, and I'm not rapping America, but musical tastes tend to be categorized, and I'm sure you and Corky and Holly have heard this a million times. People will say, well, I don't like jazz. And you say, well, who have you listened to? Well, I don't listen to anybody. I don't like it. And so why don't you like it? Well, I once heard a Miles Davis record when I was 4, and so I don't like jazz. And you're saying, whoa, there's so much more here. There's so much more here. Corky, don't you find that kind of true? There are people they'll stick to one. And what Ernie was just saying about how, and this is what Chamber Blues is all about. It's the expansion, growing the umbrella of music. But talk to me about that for a second.
Well, my favorite thing, perspective, is that people tend to choose their music the same way they choose their clothing.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
becomes an image thing. I remember someone saying to me, a relative saying to me, well, I don't like jazz. I like classical music. And she wasn't even British. You know what I mean?
Was she wearing one of those fox fur collars?
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we all tend to do that. We all tend to tell other people what kind of music we like, and it supports our image, you know? So there you go.
Well, so, but in your way, and I think, and Ernie, you can talk to this too, that in your way, what chamber blues has done is just, and I've used the phrase, expand the umbrella of what's possible, yeah, you know, to incorporate all sorts of things.
Well here's the presenters, the people that hire us,
yes,
play concerts. They want something fresh. They want something new. So we call, and they say, well, at Chamber Blues, we really love it, but it doesn't fit our series.
What's
and I go, I go, well, I've been trying my whole life to come up with stuff that doesn't fit your series.
Early on, you must have had a hard time, Corky, kind of pitching this to various clubs. Mm-hmm. You really must have. They're like, we don't get it. What is it? And was it difficult?
Well, I caught on to something really quickly, and that is, if everyone I called or my agent called or Holly called hired us, and we were really popular, I wouldn't be able to surprise people so much anymore. Mm. mm. So I take things as they come, and I sort of, you know, have fun with it.
Well, but also, and
no, it's tough. It's tough because people, you know, they will want to do something fresh and unique if it's coming from someone famous.
Right.
You know?
You've played with Ernie. Well, you two have played together before. It's not a huge tour, but it's a relatively, you know, back-to-back-to-back in Green Lake, Wisconsin, at Three Oaks, Michigan, at City Winery. The intensity of that togetherness must really make for some interesting, and I'm going to ask you, Ernie, some really interesting creative surprises.
Well, all the time, you know, like we were saying before, it's a creative surprise, you know, going to the market with Corky, you know, so all of these concerts, you know, they'll all be totally different.
Sure.
And they'll all be great fun, and they'll all be exciting because they'll be as surprising for us as it is for the audience. And that's the key. The key is to keep it interesting for all of us. And then we're having fun, and they, the audience, the people, they recognize, oh, wow, these people are really having fun up there. Look at that, you know, he just stood on his head, you know.
He can like, play the saxophone never, while standing on his head.
Figuratively,
yeah,
figuratively.
Of course.
I tell people I do the back flip into the split, but I can only do it once.
You both, and this is you have both been at this musical game for decades. And you two, I just sense this over the phone with you from across the ocean and across various states and countries. Your enthusiasm, Corky's always been an enthusiast of life. But I sense it from you, too. What is it? I'm not trying to get the secret of life from you guys.
You're going
to
get it any minute.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. I've been looking for it for a long time. But you both, I mean, you just finished, you know, 7 nights in a club in Madrid. It's, I don't know, 3:30 in the morning there. And you still seem alive and excited by the next gig.
Yeah, that's what life is. You know, life is love. Life is energy. Life is looking forward to doing things that you really love. And so for me, the main thing for me is to do mainly things that I really love, that I really believe in. You know, it's like what, you know, it's, there's an old statement that says, do what you love and the money will follow.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think about what you're doing as something that you're doing to make a buck. You think about what you're doing as something that you love and something that you want to do and something that you have to do. And so you do that. You know, I started playing when I was 13. Mm. And I tell people I've never had a job. You know, I've always done what I've loved to do, and it evolved into all of these things, but it was out of this deep love that I had for this music. And it's still the same. I still feel like I'm 16.
You sound it. You sound it. I mean, it is like for you two and many others, but you two are the people who are on the radio right now talking to me, that it seems like music is like breathing to the you two. It would be absolutely impossible not to do it.
You need to breathe. That's my first lesson.
That's your, there's the leading point of the Siegel philosophy. Keep breathing. That's a good one.
That's what the doctor says, too. You know, the doctor says if you don't breathe, you'll die.
Ernie Watts, I cannot thank you enough. You sound like Corky's long-lost brother.
We are brothers.
You sound it, and you sense it, and it's 3:30 in Madrid, and... You need to, I'm not saying you're old, but we all need, you need to breathe and you need to sleep. So I'm going to let you go to sleep and I'm going to keep talking to Corky and we're going to talk about these upcoming shows you have on May 27th and 28th. These are all, I don't know if you played these places, the Thresher Opera House, the Acorn Theater in Three Oaks and City Winery. You're going to love them all.
And I want to just thank Ernie so much for getting up at 3:30 in the morning.
I think he was up.
In
Madrid. You know these jazz guys. I think he was.
Yeah, they never sleep. You know those jazz guys.
Why? There are too many interesting things to do. Why would you sleep? I can't wait to see you. I'm going to see you either at the Acorn Theater on May 29th or at the City Winery on the 31st. You sound like Corky's long-lost brother. And I can't wait to see the brothers perform together.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Watts, get a good night's sleep and safe travels coming home. Thank you so, so much. We will. What a great guy. I'll go on and on about him next half hour. And it was great that he stayed on the whole half hour. He sounds like a great guy. More with Corky Siegel. More music, more conversation, and more philosophy. You may even get a health lesson or two, like keep breathing. Welcome back to After Hours. That was pretty amazing, Corky Siegel. That's you and Ernie Watts and others playing. That is an incredibly exciting, incredibly exciting sound.
Thank you.
When you perform with, I think back to when you were performing with Sam Lay, the last time I saw you at City Winery perform. I guess you have to find, and there can't be that many of them, musicians with a sort of similar history to yours where you, I know we talked about brothers, and I do believe there is something to that because I think music is its own language. How do you find them?
The people?
Yeah.
Well, Ernie and I met in India.
With a cup of tea.
With a cup of tea. And then Subramaniam, we had a week off from the tour.
Yeah.
And Subramaniam sent Holly and I and Ernie and, strangely enough, the guy from the Chicago Bagel Authority on a, who was just visiting.
Well, of course he'd be in India.
Exactly.
Yes, of course, yes.
Long story. But anyway, he sent us, the four of us, on a tour of India. And so we all bonded. We became really close friends. And, you know, that's how stuff happens.
You were telling me.
This has all happened to me. You know, how do you find? That was the key word in the question.
Yeah.
Ernie's listening. He will totally understand this. How do you find? How did you do? How did you ever come up with? Nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything.
The road of life.
An innocent victim of incredible good fortune.
Geniuses. You're the innocent victim of geniuses.
Innocent victim of incredible good fortune. And, you know, it happened, you know, and there's Ernie. And I asked him if he would do this with Chamber Blues, and he said yes, and that's it, sort of, you know.
When you have concerts coming up, you're going to be at the Woodstock Opera House with Sue Demmel, who's a great person, too. That's on the 21st. But you're going to be with Ernie and others at Green Lake, Wisconsin, at the Thrasher Opera House on May 27th and 28th. May 29th in Three Oaks, Michigan, one of the great small towns in the world, at the Acorn Theater, one of the great venues in this world. And then May 31st at City Winery. Do you rehearse? Do you everything, Corky? And I don't mean to sound, I've covered a lot of music in my time, but there is something that seems so joyfully spontaneous that takes place every single time I've ever seen you perform, and now we're talking something like 40 years.
Yeah, well, you know, as I explained, when you have an incredible opportunity where you're playing with an incredible genius that you've never played with before, you don't want to do too much to smother the spontaneity.
Well, you don't want to do anything that would inhibit whatever freedom you want them to feel on stage with you and yours.
And one thing that I've always done with all my musicians is I try and showcase everybody. I try and find ways of, you know, having everyone, you know, take advantage of what they have to offer. But, you know, with Ernie, we rehearsed on Skype. We had a little bit of a rehearsal on Skype that was more of just of a talk through. With the group.
Two philosophers sharing their philosophies. That's what I like about it.
Just to get the mapping down. And then, right before the show, we ran through a few things. And then it was great because the person who reviewed the show in Minneapolis recognized that. And he thought that was one of the most exciting parts of the show. He said that we were performing without a net.
Oh, how great. You know, I have to feel that some of your philosophy and your creative generosity was sparked when you were a young man coming down into what were, for many white people in this world, scary clubs in neighborhood, the kind of neighborhoods where your parents would tell you not to go there.
Right.
And you were able to go in places like, I don't know if it was Perv's House or some of the other great blues clubs, and you were not welcomed as a stranger. You were welcomed through the shared bond of music. Talk about what that was like. You and Jim Schwall and Paul Butterfield. Not many. Right. There weren't many.
Well, you know, first of all, in retrospect, I've come to realize that the inspiration behind my going to the other side of the tracks really had a lot to do with the fact that I felt embarrassed and uncomfortable being on the side of the tracks I was on. Because I felt like I wasn't on the good side. My parents said, this is a free country. We're the greatest country in the world. We treat everyone really well. I looked out my window, and I saw we didn't treat people well.
Right. When you looked at TV or at the newspapers, too. And saw
So I think, you know, I wasn't conscious of this. But in retrospect, I was moved to have my social life be on the other side of the tracks.
Yeah.
And music was, of course, part of it, and what an incredible culture it was. And when I walked into Pepper's Show Lounge to play, which we didn't even know, you know, what the place was, that it was the, you know, the amazing blues club in the world, we were hired to play every Thursday night,
That is still one of the great, and what you're talking about, this philosophical, I just move down the road and things happen.
Yeah.
That's among the most important things to happen to anybody I know, that they welcomed you there, and the next thing you know, you're having a regular gig there. I mean, it just seems almost, it seems virtually impossible, but it happened.
And people ask me, boy, you must have been really excited. And I said, no.
You must have been scared.
Yeah, I wasn't. I just thought it was cool. But now I look back and I go, oh, man, I should have
now
been scared.
Now you're nervous. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Now I'm nervous. But, you know, so all of a sudden, here's all these people sitting in with us, like Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters and, you know, Junior Wells and Willie Dixon and Otis Spann and, you know, Little Walter and, you know, night after night. And it's funny, somebody said the other day, they said, you know, one thing I'll never forget you said, Corky, is when I asked you, have you ever sat in with Muddy Waters? And you said, no, but he sat in with me. So, like, this was a gift.
This was no question.
1 year later, this guy's, you were playing at Big John's. We auditioned again, and we're taking the place of Paul Butterfield when he went on the road at Big John's. Yeah. And this guy's coming in night after night after night after night. And one night he walks in and he says, Corky, I'd like your band to jam with my band. And I'm, who's your band? He said, the Chicago Symphony. It was Maestro Seiji Ozawa.
Wow.
And he wanted to juxtapose blues and classical. Yeah. And he pointed to me to do it. And William Russo, you know, we got William Russo to compose
Russo,
the first
pieces.
And that was the first symphonic blues piece ever. And I just finished composing, by the way, the seventh one.
Mm.
However, I didn't do this. I didn't do it.
Who did?
You know? Seiji Ozawa did it. The Blues Masters did it. Yeah. William Russo was my mentor. And then the San Francisco Symphony asked me to write a piece. I said, I never wrote anything in my life before. They said, you can do it. So I'm commissioned, having never written anything before. I'm a blues guy.
Yeah, I know.
To write for the San Francisco Symphony. This happened to me. And then, by the way, the reason I'm able to do this stuff is because WXRT, which is another station in Chicago, when our record came out on RCA, they called every station in the country and told them to play our record.
Oh, great.
That's when we started getting lines around the block. So, you know, it happened. It was a gift. It was given to me. I had nothing to do with it other than I just sort of followed through with it, and it's there.
Well,
the same thing with Ernie Watts. There is Ernie, you know?
You know, there are so many great stories like this. There is, you know, John Prine being a frightened mailman. Being challenged to get up and in his early 20s writing some of the great songs of his career and having... And if no one had challenged him to get, he thinks he's a lousy guitar player. He was embarrassed to do this because he had no sense of scene there. That's one of the things. It's just, I mean, it is cool, and you have to. It's not taking advantage of it. It's a right place, right time, and just saying, hey, okay. Does that fit into your philosophy?
Yeah. And it's the same thing with Justin Bieber. Yeah.
Justin Bieber. We're going to take one last break and talk to Corky. I will tell you that the best place to get all sorts of information and to hear all manner of chamber blues music is to go to chamberblues.com. How easy life can be if you just let it happen. We'll be right back. That is the essence, I think, of chamber blues. That sounds so good. Corky Siegel's latest creative step. He used to be, you know, you may remember, I know some of you remember him, Siegel Schwall. When was Chamber Blues born, Corky? When was it born?
Well, the concept of juxtaposing blues and classical.
Right, of course.
Well, it was born in 1966, but specifically Chamber Blues was 1983 when I actually had an explosion of inspiration, like exploding. It was like physical.
Sure.
And it was, you know, writing the juxtaposition of blues and classical for chamber music.
Mm.
The sweet sounds of a string quartet.
Was there a specific epiphany?
Yeah.
Or this, there was.
Yeah.
What was it?
The epiphany was just the vision of this whole thing
and
happening together. And
I
turned to Holly. It was 1983. I said, Holly, I got this idea. Here it is. It's going to change our life. Should we do it? And she says, absolutely. And then 1987 was the first performance.
Whew.
I started writing it in 83.
Wow. It has been received with not only critical kudos, but I think it's done great things for you, too, as a musician.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are some, you know, I think about, you know, the Rolling Stones. We've been talking a little about them because Rich Cohn, the author, is on in the next hour. They're just going through the motions now. And I don't, you know, in some ways I don't blame them. They've had an interesting career. They've had a great life. But you are an inspiration. And I think Ernie Watts is, too. And so is Sam Lay, with whom you've played, the great blues drummer, that creatively you are. I don't want to get too philosophical, but you are like flowers that keep, as you, it rains, man, the sun shines, and you keep growing. Or you're like gardens, not just like flowers. You're like gardens.
Well, if the Rolling Stones had stayed on tour with Ernie, the same thing would have happened to them.
They'd be creating new music now.
They didn't realize they were on tour with him.
Talk to me before I let you and Holly go about the difference in venues.
Yeah.
You're a guy who came up in the Smoky, Big John's, all these other places, and now you're playing. The difference between a place like the Woodstock Opera House, where you're going to be with Sue Demmel on May 21st, and City Winery are vast. One is an opera house. One is a nice venue, but it's a bar, restaurant, kind of very nice bar, restaurant. It's not Big John's, I'll tell you that.
When you said opera house, I thought you were talking about the City Winery.
You think City Winery is like an opera house? Yeah.
It is sort of like an opera house. No, the venue, I don't know. The thing that I like about both venues is they're very intimate.
Yeah.
And they're both beautiful.
That's
And you know, I don't really think about the difference. I'll tell you the difference in venue. Playing Big John's, 1966, talking about, you know, symphonic blues.
Yeah.
67, being at Big John's, writing the music with William Russo, wrote the music. In 1968, Ravinia with the Chicago Symphony. 1969, Lincoln Center with the New York Philharmonic.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a different venue from Big John's. And the Boston Symphony at Tanglewood. And San Francisco Symphony at the Opera House.
But in essence, you and your music can create, it's kind of, you collaborate with the venue, whatever the venue is, to create the kind of venue you want, the kind of venue you need for your music.
I think Ernie would respond this way, and I think Ernie might even be listening if he hasn't fallen asleep
Because it's 7 minutes to four in Madrid. Yeah. And who can blame him?
Yeah, but you know, as Ernie said, we focus on the music, we focus on the joy, we find out what brings us joy, and everything happens on its own.
Yeah.
You know, so the venue takes care of itself, the audience takes care of themselves. You know, and people come up to me and say, you know, the way you pay so much attention and care for the audience is amazing. And the fact is, I really focus on what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, and all of it, you know, to my mind, that success is kind of the residue or ash of passion.
Uh-huh.
And if you bring passion to something, just we were talking about money, Ernie, not in, the money will happen. Success will happen if you are genuinely, sincerely passionate about what you do. Don't you feel, I don't know if it's part of your philosophy, but that will come.
Well, what will come is beauty and joy and love. That'll come instantly. If there are material rewards to come, you may have to be very patient.
Right.
But
right.
It'll come, maybe not in this life, but in another life. Of course, I don't believe in reincarnation.
I
did in my last life.
You did?
Yeah.
No, that's when you met Ernie. That's when you guys, that's when you and Ernie and Sam Lay were helping build the pyramid. You were slaves and you're trying to make music. Corky, I could not admire you more if I tried. Corky's will be with Ernie Watts. Ernie Watts is joining Corky's Chamber Blues May 27th and 28th at the Thrasher Opera House in Green Lake, Wisconsin. The 29th at the beautiful, stunning Acorn Theater in Three Oaks, Michigan. May 31st at the stunning City Winery Opera House in Chicago. Go to, please do me a favor, tonight or tomorrow or anytime this week, go to chamberblues.com because it's a great website. It talks a lot about you, and there are tons of samples of your music. You've heard just a little bit tonight, and I want the philosophy book, and I can't wait till you. Corky has an album in the works that will debut on the show when it is ready to go, and I cannot wait. You guys are dear, dear friends.
Thanks so much.
Knock them dead. And Ernie, if you haven't fallen asleep yet, you're my idea of a jazz man. It's 4 a.m. in Madrid. Hit the hay. We'll be right back.